to our Bibles and let's open 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 24. For those who were there in the last meeting and in the last to last meeting, we are continuing something called as hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So we are tonight on the fourth part of this series called the hidden wisdom. And the hidden wisdom that I am teaching you, it's the greater weapon than that of anointing. Anointing is not greater than wisdom. Wisdom is the greatest, by the way. Wisdom is something that the devil is afraid of the most. Is the greatest weapon with which you can walk in a realm that is above snakes and scorpions. Because the Bible says, you shall trample over snakes and scorpions. Jesus said that. It does not say that you shall crush snakes and scorpions. You have to be careful about the word that Jesus uses. He says, you shall what? Trample. Trampling is a continuous process. In other words, to simplify it, trampling is a activity of walking continuously. So what Jesus is saying there is, you shall walk in a realm that is above that of the snakes and scorpions. That is trampling over snakes and scorpions. And how you can walk in that realm? When you have the wisdom of God, when you tap into the mystery of God, you are walking and you are consistently walking. That means you are trampling over snakes and scorpions. You are above them. That is where God is bringing his people, his church, to walk in that realm. Okay, so that is what wisdom will do to us. I'm not going into, but by the way, if you want to be reminded, last time we ended on the explanation to the book of Job, what had to be the answer to Job's suffering, and we saw it in detail, the explanation to the book of Job. I'm going to put that sermon this week. Okay, so you can go and refer to it, but we are going to go on a different level tonight and let's see how we can complete it. Until what extent we can go. So I told you to open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Verse number 24. It says, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So I told you the answer to the suffering of Job was Christ as the center and the person of wisdom. So that is what, so the wisdom of the three friends of Job, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, were accurate. I studied the book of Job thoroughly, and I told you some of the verses they used, even Apostle Paul used to explain his sermons to the churches. That is how fantastic they were in their wisdom. It was accurate, whatever they said to Job. But all the wisdom that they said about the dream, about the spirit, about this, about how people go to the grave, about how people do this and do that, and how God rules them, and all those things, all those wisdom was just wisdom. But the center of their wisdom, in the center of that wisdom, Christ was not revealed. But when the young man came, Elihu, to answer Job, when he started to answer Job, the center of the wisdom that he was speaking, there was Christ the ransom. Okay, so Christ is the person and the center of wisdom. The definition of wisdom is God's instruction to mankind. And the person and the center of that wisdom is Jesus Christ. So if you know all things, if you operate in dreams and vision, you know this, you know that, you know the spirits, you know the principalities, but the center and the person of the wisdom you have, there is no revelation of Christ, the ransom, the redeemer. That wisdom cannot defeat the enemy. That wisdom cannot be a living water to a weary soul. And people cannot be comforted if Christ is not the center of one's wisdom. So it says that Christ is the wisdom of God. Okay. And then 1 Corinthians, the same chapter, chapter number 1, verse number 30, Apostle Paul again says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Okay, now the things that I started to speak in the last sermon, and even for today's sermon, the part four that we are doing tonight, the main scripture is Proverbs chapter number 9. So let's go to Proverbs chapter number 9. Hallelujah. Let's go to Proverbs chapter number 9. Okay, so Proverbs chapter number 9, to remind you, verse number 1 to 6 is the house of God's wisdom. And verse number 13 to 18 is the house of the counterfeit wisdom, the clamorous woman who fights the wisdom of God. There is a counterfeit wisdom in place, and that counterfeit wisdom is a spirit. That spirit has different names. One of the names that the spirit has is a clamorous woman. The other name that the spirit has is a seducing spirit. And she dwells on the high places. Okay? And operates from a high place. The definition of a high place, the definition of a seducing spirit, I'm going to give you during the sermon. Okay? So stay with me. But now to bring to your attention is this fake wisdom is at war and is fighting the wisdom of God, which is found in the house of God. So let me read Proverbs chapter number 9, verse number 1 to 6, which is the house of God's wisdom, location of God's wisdom. It says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the city, from the highest places of the city. Underline, I asked you to underline that last Friday. Okay, highest places, that is from where she is crying out. What she is crying out, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I mixed. Forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. So the location, if you ask me, where can wisdom be found? This is the location of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. The location of wisdom is the tabernacle of God. Okay? I told you that already. It says about seven pillars are the seven lampstand, because the lampstand look like pillars, seven pillars. It talks about that she is slaughtered her meat. It is about the altar of God in front of the holy place where the sacrifices are offered. It talks about bread and wine. It talks about a table that is the holy place of God. So there is that wisdom is inviting you to that place. Which is that place? Wisdom is inviting you to the secret place called the presence of God. So you cannot partake of wisdom. You cannot partake of wisdom from the football stadium in New York. If you want to partake of the wisdom, you need to go to the location of wisdom. That is the presence of God, the tabernacle of God, where she will give you to eat of the meat, of the bread, of the wine that she has prepared. Why the Bible uses she as the wisdom, I gave you a glimpse of it in the first part. So you have to refer, if you want to know everything about what is there about wisdom, you have to go through all the parts. Okay, afterwards you can refer to those things, any which ways. So this is the house of God where the wisdom of God is found. And what is the wisdom doing? She is doing what? Crying out from the high place of the city. The high place of the city is the tabernacle of God, from where God is supposed to execute his rule, territorial rule over a city, by the altar of God, by the tabernacle of God being built. Okay, we will understand it later when we go into the high place. Now let's come to verse number 13 to 18. Proverbs chapter number 9, verse number 13 to 18. Now this is the counterfeit wisdom. This is the counterfeit wisdom. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house. So there is a position where she sits. She is not inside the house. Where she is? Outside the house. Sitting at the door of her house. That is the position where she is. She on a seat. So she has a seat. The seat refers to a principality. We will come to that. She has a what? Seat. By the highest places of the city. Highest place, underline that. That's her place of operation. To call those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, so the doctrine she uses is similar to that of the wisdom of God. Wisdom is also crying out the same thing. Whoever is simple, let them come here. But let's see what's the real content that she is giving to people when they enter her house. Okay, so she calls in, and when she calls, the doctrine is similar to what is of God's wisdom. God's wisdom is also crying out, whoever is simple, let them come in. She is also crying out, whoever is simple, let them come in. So you cannot differentiate them by what they are speaking. It's similar. But when you come inside her house, what happens there? Verse 16, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet. And bread eaten in secret is pleasant. That's her content when you come inside and start to receive from her. What does God's wisdom give? God's wisdom is giving you meat and wine, which are pure. But this woman is giving you what? Stolen water. Are we understanding? So the doctrine sounds similar. People of God, the doctrine sounds similar. They both sound similar. But once you come inside of her house, the things that she gives you to eat are different. That's fake wisdom. And what she gives you to eat is stolen water and bread. And she's saying, don't go outside and eat. Keep it in secret. Don't tell anyone. We'll come to that. But he does not know the person who came in her house. The person does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. This is what we saw spotted out the first difference between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the devil, the counterfeit one. The wisdom of God, the first difference was in our last sermon, is the wisdom of God leads you to Christ, that is to eternal life. The wisdom of the seducing spirit of the clamorous woman leads you to hell, that is eternal destruction. That was the destination. So Christ has to be the center of one's wisdom to understand that that person's wisdom that he is receiving is from God. And if you hear that person, that servant of God is going to lead you to Christ and to eternal life. Okay, hallelujah. But the clamorous woman does not lead. The clamorous woman will attach you to herself by her products, by her food that she will give you. And then she is not leading you to any person. She is not leading you to any Christ or anything. She is taking you with herself to where? The depths of hell. That is one of the difference between a false church and a true church, or a false servant of God and a true servant of God. A true servant of God, God will lead you to Christ. Yes, he will just be a signpost. He will not attach you to his anointing, to his gifts, and to even if you want to wear a dress, you have to ask me. Even if you want to go there, you have to ask me. I am the prophet over you. You have to go to Christ through me. That is that man or that woman of God is the clamorous woman who is releasing fake wisdom. A true servant of God will lead you to Christ. That's the destination where the person will lead you. Okay, so keep this. We are going to go deep, okay? So listen to me carefully, whatever I'm saying. These two scriptures, Proverbs chapter number 9, keep it very clear in your mind. And I want to take you to Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 20. We are going to start off from Ephesians. Chapter number 2, verse number 20, and we are going to continue until Ephesians chapter number 3, verse 11. So starting from Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 20. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 20. having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. What is that? It is the altar of God. I told you the church of God is an altar. Ecclesia is an altar where you are the living stone put together with Christ as the chief cornerstone. Christ is the chief cornerstones. The apostles and the prophets of Christ are the foundation, and then the church are stones built together. Remember what I told you, Matthew chapter number 16, Jesus was making a search. You know what he was searching? Jesus was searching for a stone whom he can put in his altar, because he came from heaven to earth to build an altar, which is called the church. When you read Matthew chapter number 16, Jesus was asking, who do men say I am? They said, some say you are Elijah, some say you are one of the old prophets, some say this, some say that. Okay. So Jesus then shifted his question to the smaller group. So he was searching, is there a stone in the people of Israel? So he asked the disciples, did anyone reveal who I am? Who do men say I am? So when he heard their answer, he understood no one knew he was from the people of Israel. Then he shifted his question to the smaller group, that is the disciples. Then he said, who do you say I am? Are you understanding? So now he know there is no stone. And listen to me, there is no stone among the people of Israel. So let me search among the disciples if anyone is a stone. And then among the disciples, one guy cried out, this guy, Peter. He said, you are Christ the Messiah. And Jesus said, oh, I found him. And he said, flesh and blood did not reveal to you, Simon, my Father in heaven. So you got something from my Father. You started to hear from my Father. Okay. And then he said, your name is, you are Simon Bar-Jonah. That means Simon, son of Jonah. The meaning of Simon is a reed or a weed that is wavered by the water. But no longer you will be the reed or a weed, but you will be a rock solid stone. Peter. And then this stone I will use to build the altar. On you I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail. That means this altar I have started to build with Peter. Peter became the first stone of the altar. Are you ready to become a stone of the altar? Are you understanding now? Okay. 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 So I gave that explanation to give you the explanation of what Ephesians chapter number 2 verse 20 means. It says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophet. It's an altar. It's a building with all the stones. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom, verse number 21, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, the altar of God, the holy temple of God, okay, where wisdom is located, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Let's shift to Ephesians chapter number 3 now. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Realize that there is a specification, not only apostles and prophets. What it says? To the holy apostles and prophets. That means there are many apostles and prophets, but the mystery is revealed to the holy ones, to the holy ones of God. Okay, let's go. That verse number 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, the grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all See what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Stop there. Now I'm going to go slow because we are on an important verse. He says, verse number 9, to make all see. His job is to make people see what he is making people to see. The fellowship of the mystery. Okay? What? The fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent, verse number 10, very important, bracket it out with your pen, verse number 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Stop there. This is mystery. Okay? What is the mystery? What does God wants from the church? God does not want the church primarily to play guitar and to produce songs. God wants the church, which is the altar, which are we, to do what? To make known the wisdom of God to the principality and power. That is what we are studying, the wisdom of God. Because the church has to make known the wisdom of God to who? Principality and power. So underline wisdom of God, underline church, underline principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Underline these three things. So there are three things that I want to bring your attention towards. The church, which is the house of God, the house of wisdom, has to make known the wisdom of God to another house. This house is called the principality of and powers. And the principality and power is what we saw in Proverbs chapter number 9. The woman that sits on the high place with a seat outside the door of her house. Are we understanding? Principality and powers. I am not going to explain the basic definitions because I took a sermon already over that. Explaining what is dominion, what is principality, what is power, what is throne, and all such things, which are mentioned in Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 12. So, but in this context, I want you to picturize this. Here is the house of God, which is the house of wisdom, Proverbs chapter number 9. Remember two houses, and here is the house of the clamorous woman. This house of God, which is the house of wisdom, is the church in verse number 10. And this house of the clamorous woman is the principality and power in verse number 10. So, the mystery of God is this house of God has to manifest the wisdom of God against this house of clamorous woman, which is called the principality and powers in the heavenly places. Are we clear on that until now? So, having that in mind, let us park it aside and let us move on in Proverbs chapter number 9. Okay, this is what I'm telling you. This is the war. The house of God has to make known the manifold wisdom, the wisdom of God to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. This is the job of the church. Okay, hallelujah. Okay, let's go now to Proverbs chapter number 9. Proverbs chapter number 9. Proverbs chapter number 9. So, I want you to, now I will spot out the second difference. In the Friday sermon, we spotted out the first difference between the house of wisdom and the house of the clamorous woman. That is the destination where they lead towards. This leads to eternal life. This leads to hell. The second difference is the way they call people. Okay? Now, wisdom calls people, Proverbs chapter number 9. Verse number 3 and 4, it says, she has sent out her maidens, she cries out from the highest place of the city. So, wisdom, when the wisdom cries out people, to people, when the wisdom is crying out to people, the wisdom is crying out from inside the house of wisdom. She's not going out. But what she is doing is she is sending out maidens. Who are the maidens? The maidens are the carriers of God's wisdom. Okay? Who are the maidens? The carriers of God's wisdom. Apostle Paul was a maiden of wisdom. He was sent from wisdom to call and to bring people to the wisdom of God. Abraham, he was a carrier of wisdom. He was a maiden of wisdom. So that is how wisdom operates. She herself sits in the house of God, but she sends outside maidens that are the carriers of wisdom. Now, you got to become a maiden for wisdom who will go for her and who will bring people to the house of wisdom. That is how wisdom calls. That is the call of wisdom. Let's see the call of the clamorous woman. Verse number 13. Okay. A foolish woman is clamorous. Underline clamorous. Now we are going to see what is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. She has nothing. She has no content. Remember, I told you the devil has no content, no original content of himself. If he has to give you and teach you something, he has no content to teach you. But how he teaches you? He takes from the word, twists it and teaches you. So she knows nothing. That is the clamorous woman. No content. What she is stealing is from the house of God and making it look similar. Hallelujah. Verse number 14. For she sits at the door of her house. She is not inside the house. She is outside the house. And when she is outside the house, what she is doing, she is sitting on a seat by the highest place of the city. Okay, stop there. Stop there. The sound of wisdom is pure when wisdom calls out. But the sound of the woman is clamorous. Write it down. What is the meaning of clamorous? What is the meaning of clamorous woman? Clamorous woman is a woman that makes a sound. And the sound is loud, confused, noisy, protesting, demanding, and forcing. Okay? Clamorous woman is a woman that makes a sound. And the sound is clamorous. The woman is called clamorous because of the sound. The sound is called clamorous. That's why she is called a clamorous woman. Clamorous woman is a woman, let me come again, who is a foolish woman as knows nothing that we have seen in the scripture, makes a sound which is what? Loud, confused, noisy, protesting, demanding, and forceful. Okay. Hallelujah. So, by the first differentiation I am giving you, by this revelation, you can now discern between the person who is calling you to the house of wisdom and between that person who is calling you to the house of the fake wisdom. The person who is calling you to the house of wisdom will just tell you, do you know God is not dominating? God does not dominate your will. He gives you a free will. The maidens of wisdom will just cry out, just come, just come. If you don't come, they will not do anything to you. Okay? They will not say, if you don't come, I will curse you. If you don't come, you will die tomorrow. If you don't come, you will not get your breakthrough. They will not say such things. Their voice will not be loud. What did Isaiah prophesy about Jesus? When he comes, he will not make noise in the marketplace. I don't remember the exact words, but that is the prophecy. I don't have time to go into that prophecy. He will not break a reed. He will not be a reed wavered. And all those things he says about Jesus, that he will not be noisy. Okay? So if you want to hear the maidens of wisdom, you need to come in silence because they are not so noisy. They are not so noisy. But contrary to that, the wisdom of the clamorous, the noise, the sound of the clamorous woman is very noisy, is very confusing. And very important, it's like a protest, like a demanding voice, like a forceful voice. That is the house of a clamorous woman. Are we understanding until now? So that can bring you to the discernment of who is calling you to God and who is calling you to the depths of hell. Because clamorous woman is the so-called pastor or leader of a church who has constructed the house of fake wisdom, and their house is taking people to hell. Okay? Hallelujah. People of God, if you are understanding and there until now, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Who is the clamorous woman? What is the second characteristic of the clamorous woman? The second characteristic of the clamorous woman is that she is a seducing spirit. Write it down. Everyone says seducing spirit. Everyone say that word. Seducing spirit.
Seducing spirit.
Yes. Let me tell you what Apostle Paul writes to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Verse number 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the later times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit and doctrines of demons. What is the doctrine of demon? The stolen water and the bread of the woman. That is the doctrine of demon. Hallelujah. Okay, okay. The Holy Spirit will teach you the Bible tonight. Okay? Hallelujah. Listen to me. Seducing spirit. Now, I want to define a seducing spirit. What is the definition and characteristic of a seducing spirit? So I am going to give you four characteristics of a seducing spirit, and the first characteristic I am giving you defines the seducing spirit. Okay, so the definition of seducing spirit is: seducing spirit is a spirit which lures men and women into a covenant. Let me come again. Seducing spirit is a spirit which lures men and women into a covenant with a God slash altar. With a God altar slash altar of a high place. Seducing spirit is what? Is a spirit that lures men and women into a covenant, or to make a covenant with a God or altar of a high place. What is a high place? We'll come afterwards to a high place. The second characteristic of a seducing spirit. Seducing spirits are picturized or represented as snakes and women in the realms of the spirit. So you saw a dream. In the dream, you saw either a snake or either a woman. They look like a woman or they look like a snake, because the seducing spirit in Genesis chapter number 3 was the serpent who seduced Eve, lured Eve to form a covenant with himself by eating of the tree. That was a covenant with the God, that is the snake. Okay, any which ways. The second characteristic that seducing spirit are picturized or represented as a snake or a woman in the realms of the spirit. The third characteristic is seducing spirits operate from high places. Seducing spirits operate from where? From high places. I will teach you what is a high place, but afterwards. Operate from high places. The fourth characteristic, in the physical, not only women, but even men can be the representative of the seducing spirits. Okay? So only the women are seducing. No, even men carry the seducing spirit. Most of the men of God are the seducing spirits. Okay. Hallelujah. Listen now. So you know Proverbs chapter number 9, 13 to 18, the clamorous woman, okay? I told you about the sound she makes, what kind of, the sound of the seducing spirit. The seducing spirit She will make a sound always. You see, snake, the serpent in the Garden of Eden was loud, had many words to tell to Eve. He was confusing. He was kind of forcing, or he was kind of, there was a demand in the tone of his voice to bring him. No, you know, God did not tell you the full truth. You know, if you eat, you will become like God. So he is afraid, and he used many words, confusing, loud, demanding, protesting, and all those things. I told you about the sound. That is the sound of a clamorous woman who is a seducing spirit. These are the characteristics of the seducing spirit. And let's see the book of Proverbs, chapter number 7 now, which talks about the seducing spirit. Proverbs chapter number 7. Hallelujah. Okay, I am going to read Proverbs chapter number 7, all the 27 verses for you. Okay, all the 27, 1 to 27, I'm going to read that. Proverbs chapter number 7, verse number 1 to 27. This is clamorous woman. This is seducing spirit. Now, I will not explain you everything, but when I'm reading, just be careful, because whatever I'm teaching you is related to what Proverbs is talking about, the seducing spirit. Okay. Proverbs chapter number 7, verse number 1 onwards. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. You see that? So God is telling you and me, his children, bind wisdom, take her as your sister, keep my words, my law, because you need to escape who? The seductress spirit, the seducing spirit, because the seducing spirit is working big time in the church already. All right, let's go and look at verse number 6. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner. Whose corner? The seducing spirit's corner. And he took the path of her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him. This is the seducing spirit. With the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart, she was loud and rebellious. What I told you, clamorous. Mm-hmm. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, looking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. With an impudent face, she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I come out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. Okay, stop there. The seducing spirit will make you feel special. Will make you feel special. Okay? If the seducing spirit knows that you are a victim of flattery, the seducing spirit knows that if anyone starts to appreciate how well you look, oh, you are a handsome man, you are a muscular man, the seducing spirit knows that you will be flattered if she uses those words. So she will make you feel comfortable. She will make you feel welcomed. Mm-hmm. It says, so I come out to diligently to see. She is talking to the man, to the young man. I have come to diligently seek your face. I needed you. I have paid my vows, and I have peace offerings with me, signifying the elements of an altar she is taking the man to, because she is talking about peace offering. Okay, let's move ahead. Verse number 16. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. with her enticing speech. Okay, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Okay, when you go in the house of in a so-called church, and you feel, oh, the church is so welcoming, oh, the pastor is saying whatever you need, you will get it here, you will get your breakthrough, you will get your long-awaited prayers answered, and this and that, oh, they are seducing you with their flattering lips. Hallelujah. The house of God is never to make people comfortable in the flesh. The house of God and the house of wisdom is, on the contrary, to destroy their flesh and bring them in the spirit. The house of God, the wisdom that speaks, first asks people to turn away and repent. But here, in the house of seducing spirit, they will flatter you to seduce you. Oh, come, you came for the first time. You look beautiful, ma'am. Come, welcome. And then they already have taken information, the volunteers, from you and given it to the servant of God. And the servant of God looks, oh, this is the woman. And then, you know, I see that you have a son in your house who is a cripple. Oh, man of God, you know it for what I came here. You don't know. Flattering is being used to seduce you. To seduce you. That day you decide, I am going to be a daughter of this man of God. I am going to be a daughter of this house of God, and so on and so forth. You went with a seducing spirit. Hallelujah. People of God, if you are with me, say amen. Let me go ahead after that. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Seducing spirit, verse number 21. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost his life. That luring of the seducing spirit, that seducing spirit is luring you into a covenant with a God, with a deity of a high place. And that deity of the high place, you are getting your breakthrough at the cost of your life, ending up in hell. You are getting your breakthrough at the cost of your soul, going to the devil, going to the deity of a so-called altar. Yes, that is what it is saying. He did not know the person that he is going towards the trap, and what he is doing will cost him his life. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Oh. Strong men is, once they were strong with God and in the spirit. This spirit hunted down such men and women. Yes. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. That was Proverbs chapter number 7. Okay. Hallelujah. That was what? Proverbs chapter number 7. Do you now understand now? Proverbs chapter number 7, it talks about the clamorous woman who is the spirit of the house of the fake wisdom and the seducing spirit, which Apostle Paul is talking in the book of Timothy, that men will get into tempted by seducing spirit and will hear the doctrine of demons. The doctrine of demons is the stolen water and the bread that she offers. Okay. Now, let us go to the high place. Let us go to the high place. Okay? Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter number 9. Let's come back to our main scripture that we are using tonight. Proverbs chapter number 9. Verse number 14. Where does she sit? You see, the seducing woman is not inside the house. She's at the corner of the... She's like an evangelist trying to bring people to... her house so that they can have sexual relationship. And when they have sexual relationship, they have become a part of the deity of the altar for which they are becoming evangelists. Seducing spirit. Okay. Where she sits, Proverbs chapter number 9, verse number 14. For she sits at the door of her house. You see, I told you wisdom is inside the house. She is not inside the house. She is outside the house, at the door of the house. Okay. Listen, do you remember 1 Samuel chapter number 1? Do you remember that scripture? Have you observed something in 1 Samuel chapter number 1 about Eli? Remember Hannah did not have a child. She used to go to the temple and she was praying at the temple. And when I don't have time, you read the first chapter for yourself. It says that Eli was a priest, but Eli used to sit at the door of the house of God like a watchman. But the priests are not sitting outside the house. They are inside the house of God. You know why he was sitting outside the house of God? Because his sons, two sons, were the seducing spirits inside the playing with. So when we talk about the house of God, we sit inside the house of God as priests, taking part of the table. Do you know when the Bible talks about the tabernacle of God, there is no such consignment or assignment to Levites that they have to stand at the door. No, they have to be inside performing the activities of the table, of the holy place. Any which ways, I'm talking that she sits outside the house of God. Such a person, maybe a man or a woman having a seducing spirit, you may say, oh, this guy is always outside the house of God. This is a great evangelist. This guy is, or this woman is doing the kingdom work. No. You have to look for a priest who spends time. If you see Elijah, if you see Jesus, they were inside the house of God most of the time. And then when it was time for them to do mission work, they went outside. But their position was not outside. Their position was inside. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, listen. For she sits at the door of her house. The first thing that I want you to notice in this scripture is that she sits outside. The second thing that I want you to notice is that on a seat, second thing is she has a seat. She has a throne. She has a throne. She has a seat. The third thing I want you to notice is where is the seat? The seat is where? At the high place. Highest place, by the way. Highest place of the city. Okay. So the seat represents the principality. A principality is a prince that sits on a throne. Okay. I cannot go in detail, but remember Daniel prayed and fasted for 21 days. The 21st day, it says, he stopped the fast. And there was the angel Gabriel released and said, I have come to you with the message of God for the things you had been praying. But I was late because the prince of Persia stopped me. And I was not rescued until Michael, the archangel, came and fought. And then I was rescued. Now, when that prince has gone, the prince of Greece will come. So what is a principality? Principality is the current ruling power over a territory. Now, let me use the example of politics, since we are praying a lot about politics. Elections are on the corner in Canada, in US, in India this year. And I don't know other countries, but elections are around the corner. So what is the party of Joe Biden? I'm always confused between the Democrats and the Republicans. He's a Democrat, right?
Democrat.
So there are two parties in America, Democrats and the Republicans. The current ruling party is the Democrat. But it's not that there is not another party. There is also another party, that is the Republican, but they are not executing their rule. They are not in power right now. So the principality are the Democrats. Right. Principality is the current ruling prince. Okay. And the ministers under the Democrats are the one in the office of the White House. Okay, so they are the rulers of darkness of this age. Hallelujah. Now, in case, I'm not prophesying, don't take me wrong, I am explaining, okay? In case, the election is won by Republicans in this year. So this principality will then be the Republicans. And the rulers of darkness of this age, that means the ministers under the Republicans will be the rulers of the darkness of this, of the age, current ruling people in power. That is called a principality, which is currently, hallelujah. Remember the dream that Nebuchadnezzar saw, head of gold, the idol, and the chest of silver and bronze, and then clay and iron mixed. So what Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar is, your principality will be there for a time period, the gold. Then you will lose your rule and reign. Babylon will lose it. And then another prince. So when Daniel was there, the current, during the time of Nebuchadnezzar, the prince that was ruling was the prince of Babylon. When he fasted for 21 days, Darius was ruling, I think, Darius. He was the Medo-Persian Empire. So the prince that was ruling was the prince of Persia. Then the angel said that this prince of Persia will go and the prince of Greece will come. So the next person who is going to dominate the face of the earth was the kingdom of Greece. And the prince of Greece, that is called principalities. They have a throne that is actively ruling. Are we understanding? Okay. Listen, principality. What does Ephesians chapter number 6 verse 12 says? Our fight is not against flesh and blood, against principalities. Against it comes in the powers, rulers of darkness of this age, and spiritual hosts in the high places. So principalities and powers. So there is a prince. What are powers? Powers are the kings under the prince. I don't have time tonight to show you, but Revelation chapter number 12, we are going to go there, by the way, afterwards. I don't know when, but we are going to go in Revelation 12. It says about the beast, it says about the head of the beast, and the head of the beast were the kings. So there is a prince and there are kings. Those are the powers. And then the rulers of darkness are the ministers under the so-called ruling party. Okay, principalities can be imprisoned, because it says Babylon became a wasteland. The prophets prophesied and Babylon fell. So the Democrats got defeated. They were there in power, but they were defeated and Republicans came. So that principality was imprisoned and kept. And the rulers of darkness lost their power. Now the other set of demons are there. So there are set of principalities. I don't have time to show you. Oh God. The beast system. Remember the beast system. Revelation chapter number 13. It says that the beast looks like a leopard. It has the appearance of the leopard, of the bear, of the lion. And I don't have time. I have already preached about that. But let me also the Daniel chapter number, one of the chapters of Daniel. Daniel saw a vision. In that he saw four creatures. One of them was like a leopard. One of them was like a bear. One of them was like a lion, and so on and so forth. And that is the representation in Revelation chapter number 13, that the beast will be a combination of all these creatures. That means the leopard, the lamb were different principality. So the beast system will be all the principality, how much ever principalities were there. The principality of Babylon, of Egypt, of Assyria, Syria, all of them together. And by the way, the beast is the United Nations, which all principalities together. Okay. Listen to me. Are you understanding principality? But let us break down and come to individual principality. She has a throne and she sits on a high place. The seducing spirit operates from a high place. The seducing spirit operates from a high place. Okay. Now, what is a high place? What is a high place? Write it down. High places are locations of altars, ritual, sacrificial activities. High places are locations of altars, ritual, sacrificial activities unto a deity who executes governance, surveillance, and control over territories. Every word is important, what I am saying in the definition. Let me come again. High places are locations of altars, ritual, sacrificial activities unto a deity, that is a god, who executes governance, surveillance, and control over territories. That is a high place. Now, this seducing spirit operates from where? From a high place. Let me show you something. Luke chapter number 4. Let me show you something. Luke chapter number 4. Okay. I am going to stop after Luke chapter number 4 and pray. Because already there are a lot of content I have released. So I plan to go to the exposition of the high places next Friday. So I am Luke chapter number 4. I will tell you something about the high place. And then we are going to pray. And I want everyone here to participate in prayer. Okay. After when we start praying. So, okay. Luke chapter number 4. And let's look at verse number 5 and 6. Verse number 5 and 6. Then the devil, taking him on a high mountain. Then the devil, taking him up on a what? High mountain. And showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Underline that. High mountain. Underline high mountain. Underline all the kingdoms, not of heaven, of the world. Because that is what a seducing spirit can have. The seducing spirit cannot have the kingdom of heaven. The seducing spirit, the power it has is on the kingdom of the world. Of the world. Showed him all the kingdom of the world. How? In a moment of time. In a moment of time. How can that happen? So the devil took Jesus on a high place. This is a high place. And from what is a high place? High place is the location of altar, ritual, sacrificial activities unto a deity who executes governance, surveillance, and control over a territory. So if you go to the realm of the high place, the realm of the high place will have the realms of all the territories under itself, because it's a surveillance spirit. Surveillance spirit. You know what is surveillance? Surveillance is keeping a watch, like a monitoring spirit. So it has all the pictures, like a virtual reality, you know, nowadays virtual reality. So that's why it says the devil took him to a high place. When he entered the high place with the devil, Jesus, we are talking about a savior. When he entered the high place, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. How can that happen? For someone to come from India to America, it will take 24 hours to one kingdom. How can one see in seconds all the kingdoms when the earth is so big? It is because that is the realm of a high place. Oh, hallelujah. The realm of a high place. Because the spirit has a watch over all the territory, sitting on a high place. Surveillance spirit. Verse number 6, he says, and the devil said to him, all the authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me and I give it to whomever I wish. By the way, Jesus never even came for the kingdom of the world. He came to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. So that's why he rejected the offer. His purpose was not aligned. Oh God. Okay, I preached this message on Christmas Day, and I told that the magi's or the wise men from the east got a revelation, right? The revelation that they got was from a star that they saw in the sky. And the shepherds got a revelation. The revelation that the shepherds got was from the angels of heaven. Now there is difference. There are two, these are two different instances. It's not the same. When the magi came, Jesus was a baby. When the shepherds came, Jesus was a young child. Okay? Sorry. When the shepherds came, Jesus was a baby. When the magi came, Jesus was a young child. So the angels who gave the news to the shepherd was before that these magi saw the star. Now, you read your Bible for yourself. Read the gospel and you see what is the message that the angels gave and what is the message that the star gave to the magi. The message that the angels gave to the shepherd is Christ the Messiah is born. In other words, heaven, the revelation of heaven revealed that Christ is the Messiah and his kingdom is not the kingdom of this earth. His kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. Christ the Messiah. The revelation that the star, that is astrology, gave to the Magi was Christ what? The king of the Jews, a king of the world. That's why when they went, Herod was troubled because he thought his throne is in trouble. That is why, listen to me, the shepherds got the revelation that Christ is not, he will not be a king on over this world, a king ruling the earthly realm, you know, taking in force the kingdom of the world and working in it. But Christ is the king of the heaven, bringing heaven, the kingdom of heaven down to earth. That is the revelation, the angels gave to the shepherd. But the revelation that was received from astrology was Christ, the king of the Jews. And for your information, the revelation that he is the king of the Jews spread across Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was troubled, the Bible says. That's why there are two revelations. One came from heaven, one came from the realm of astrology. Now the Jews only knew the revelation that came from the realm of astrology. The Herod knew that revelation. And that's why even now they are limited to the thinking that Christ did not come. Christ did not come. Because as per them, the Jesus that came for them was not a Messiah, was a king of the Jews. Oh God. Listen to me. There, are we understanding? The devil, the seducing spirits are interested in the kingdom of the world. That is where they are limited to. So anyone on earth operates from a higher realm, that is the realm of God's wisdom, is the kingdom of heaven. So you will automatically dominate and persecute a seducing spirit that sits on the high place. You will become, your life will become a threat to the seducing spirit that sits on the high place. The seducing, John understood. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know it's difficult to understand, but maybe you will listen again and again, and then you will get it and pray and get it. Okay. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? That is a high place. From where? What? A high place is a place of a location of an altar, ritual sacrifices done to a deity who executes governance, surveillance, and control over territories. Okay, so let me stop there. Next Friday, we are going to go to the dynamics of the high place. We are going to look at, because listen to me, do you know people before David, during the time of Samuel, were sacrificing to God on high places because the temple of God did not exist. When the temple of God is built, high places is nullified. Because the pattern of God is to offer him sacrifices through the temple of God, not through a high place. Because physically there was not a high place during the time of Samuel. We will come to that next Friday. People were sacrificing on a high place. But when David came, he started to rebuild the tabernacle of praise. Do you know that? Okay. from Moses until David, the tabernacle was not in place. They were worshipping in high places, giving to God on high places. David came, established the tabernacle of praise. Okay? His son Solomon messed it up. He is the one who was a victim of seducing spirit, started to rebuild high places. That is the time Israel and Judah separated, and both of them went into captivity. So that is what I'm going to take next Friday. High places, seducing spirits that operate from high places. Hallelujah. Let us stop here. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you. Father, we want to thank you. In the name of Jesus, empower your people with your wisdom. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we pray for 5 minutes? When it is 5 minutes, we will stop, and then we will see what God is telling us. Let's open your mutes. After it's 5 minutes, I will mute all of you. Open your mutes and pray in tongues. Come on. Maso kosho boti. Masha fata nafasi taka yanafa. Pray in tongues. Say fala tayara fanzo. Rovos Africa Vila Sivrente Revani Ananavanara Sifrondra Vala Sendro for Zakatara Ravala Caravala Ziaman Shabrantike Yarba Rebrin Sebrento Koya Franzo Zebrento Rovonze Reverendo Rovoziandra Ravazo Roboto Robo Sebre Betiam Branzula Ansaba Cachavarabando Robozi Alta Rabala Catarabando Robo Barabala Barabol Sereban Sharabanti Yarapo Efrando Rosiande Refose Keterebe Ebrolati Ambravandro Boshambran di Andro Sakataraba, Azabaraban Sharabana Rabansi Andraban Sokoto, Abrabalaka di Arabasakantarabala Kotoroko, Rafadoro Sabatri and Rafandro Fodoroko, E Rafandro Sedre Vendereve, Ravrendi Andrevosi Andravando, O Jabadabarabanzo Kotorobodorobo, Makrabandro Sedreveti Arabarabo, Riba Terabasapatara no Shabrabadaraba, Riba Baba Shabreveti Androbozoborobo, Rebo Sebrinti Ambrocondri Androbo Zebreventi Anzarabanji, Rabrabala Halzarabanjo Brozo Kotoro, Zekravala Halzera Fonzi Androbozide, Ziburavo di Andravanza Carbadanaranjo, Robabi Arabila di Arafan Shosianta, Zifrandera Fosiketerebendi, Ovazi Andravandro Fositerebendebede, Rabrava, come on, don't stop, Rebaba, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Holy Ghost, Rabola Siantarab. Esiarabanta Ramonde and Zebendo, Masikatarabala Kaljabarabo Tekerebo, Rabala Sial, the Travanda Ravanzi and Ravanzaraba, Lavravanzerevan Zeravaldoro for Shabravanda, Ravravanzi and Ravanzaravanzi and Zoborobo, Ravolzereven Zerebe, Revelzi Alaba. Some people's hands are catching fire. Some people's hands are catching fire now. Some people's hands are catching fire now. In the name of Jesus Christ, Zekrabati Yarabando, Ma Prato Rose Brebeti, Moseketi Yarabantrofose, Erefedriandrofosi Andrafanda, Rivacatarafon Jarafala Frevanda, Marafan Zianzara Fraban Zerafando, Marafaza Catarabando Robo, Macarababa Barabase Brebeti Yanarabanzen, Lampranto Rosabata Carabanda, Rabantian Rabanso Proboto, Rabasha Brabatu Yarabokorofo, Le Franzo Kodafata Rafanzian. De Froyan Tarapan Zekete Rebende, Mizokutamana Karaba Yarabondo, Embravandoro Sarabandianda, Labra Baba Baraba Barian, Zekete Rebetirian Sakataba, Refo Shavaria la Preso Toroko, Rezeto Boriana Rabansi Bondi, Mosekata Mariana Bosete Rebende, Mosavantra Bonsekete Rebando, Mejabrandian Ziandra Fanza Katarava, Ezafatara Barabandoro for Zian Taravando, Negre Barabara Barabolo, come on, pray, don't stop Rabasa. Eprosobolti, Ebrial Chabanda, Ebrandorofosi under a fanzo Kuravanzianza, Necrofosia Taravanzo of Undarafesa Calaboraba, Liva Rive, Riva Vanarianze Vendri under a Fonja, Mazabramanto Kurababaraba, Ihayaraba, Iarianato, Rosafati Yarabanzo Rogodorobo, Ravanda Ravanzi Caravandrofose Trevente, Monzo Probonto Robo Shandamanto, Necrabayarabase Tofora de Revende, Efrenzavaria la Prendor.
se te vende. Morra vanza prendere così anza chi bura paia baba. E brava l'ora voglia prendere pensi andra banzo fora. Ma brava la bondre pensi andra banzo fora. Ma sciava tarava la bande andra bo. Ribono volo bo di andara banzi andara bonze. Brava la banzi andra bala banzi andro boto. Brava la basso globo che vuole prendere se tarava babaria. E pronto sa fritto robo derene. E in bandaria carabato. Ma carabaya rabo bobo. E pro la si catarabando. E prando la sabati araba. E frando la si bandiana mocco. E provo coro bonjoro bondorobo. E protoro la si fataravando robo zi andara banzaraba. E frial terabarabala bodi anzabarabando robo. Marabanzi ambarabandi anzarabanzi anzaramana morabandri. Ribanda rabana marabanze vendere basanga. E shabrabatarabula crabata baraba. E brabala barabala barabala. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, someone's hand, some people's hands are catching fire of the Lord. You are catching the fire of the Lord in your hands. You're catching the fire of the Lord in your hands. God is speaking to someone and he is telling that person that as for Mordecai, even for you, the book of remembrance is open. The book of remembrance for you is open. You were not favored for the thing that you have done. Oh, because Haman's wickedness had covered your good works. But the book of remembrance is opened by the king Ahasuerus. And the book of remembrance has been opened. And the wicked will be punished in the name of Jesus Christ. I decree and declare in Jesus' mighty name, every altar that is fighting you and that is fighting the move of God, that is fighting this ministry, that is fighting your life, let it catch fire tonight. We are sending fire, people of God. We are sending fire in the name of Jesus. Let it catch fire tonight. Every high places of the seducing spirit, let it catch fire in Jesus' name. The house of the seducing spirit, where they drink water and eat the bread offered by her, the house of the clamorous woman, in Jesus' mighty name, fall down in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I pray for people. People are here from different nations, and some of you unknowingly, knowingly, the places you are covenanted with, churches you are covenanted with, they are the house of seducing spirit, and they had been that the spirits from there had been persecuting you, had been ruling over you like Pharaoh. But in Jesus' name, let their hold break over your life. I declare now in Jesus' name. I declare now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you for this time. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor, Lord. Hallelujah. I cover all your people with the blood of Jesus, with the walls of fire. In Jesus' name, let them grow mighty. Let them grow mighty. Let there not be even one weakling in this group. Let them, each one of them, grow mighty. And I rebuke the spirit of fear and doubt. Get out in Jesus' name. Let them grow mighty in the spirit, bold, courageous, in Jesus' name, in the spirit of God. Give you all the praise, honor, and glory, Father. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Let us shout. Shout hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. God is doing mighty things in this place. Hallelujah. So God bless you. We are going to meet next Friday.